Our guest speaker this morning is no stranger to First Emmanuel. In fact, she has over 60 years of history here. She came to First Emmanuel in 1959 as a student deaconess from Valparaiso University. She served here for 2 months. She returned in 1960 to serve as a deaconess and secretary. She then became the First Lady and remained in service until her husband retired, repositioned in 1996, and became Pastor Emeritus. During her tenure, she held many positions: secretary, Sunday school teacher, confirmation class teacher, and also wife and mother. She was also a staunch advocate and supporter of women holding positions in the church that were traditionally held by men, like deacons and lay communion servers. She was affectionately called our rebel. Please put your hands together and give a warm First Emmanuel welcome to our own Carolyn Greshens Becker Smith.
Thank you for Sylvia for making me feel old. That's good. First Emmanuel has been located on the presence and on the near west side for 170 years. It began in 1854 as a small Lutheran church near Roosevelt and Blue Island, where St. Ignatius College Prep now stands. This small church was 46 feet long and 24 feet wide. The city of Chicago's boundaries at that time were North Avenue on the north, 31st Street on the south, the Lake Michigan on the east, and Wood Street to the west. 34 years later, they built this lovely church. This church was called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. In 1945, they incorporated as First Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Chicago because there were several other Emmanuel churches in the city. I think they held Sunday services every Sunday for those 170 years, to my knowledge. It has been a special place for many people during those years. This morning, I want to tell you why it has been special to me. As Sylvia said, I came into First Emmanuel in the summer of 1959 as a deaconess student from Valparaiso University in Indiana. I was 20 years old, and to put that into perspective, George Manning was 10. So now, George, they are all doing the math, and they know what you are. I was to spend the summer helping the new pastor with the children in the Sunday school. At that time, about 200 children were enrolled in the Sunday school, thanks to the work of the former pastor and his staff. After I was there for several days, I asked some women, "I have never met Mrs. Bether." They laughed and said, "Girl, neither have we." When I went back to college in the fall, this pastor, Donald Becker, came to visit me several times. Remember, we had no cell phones, and to make a phone call was verboten because that was cost money. So when I graduated and was called as a deaconess to First Emmanuel in June of 1960, this Pastor Becker and I were married in November of 1960 and lived across the street at 1129 South Ashland. The area around the church was very, very different from what it is now. Those of you who are from the neighborhood know what I'm going to talk about. On Roosevelt, there was a movie theater and a bowling alley on the south side of Roosevelt, and Tony's grocery store and Midwest House. The hospitals behind us were being built at that time. and large houses on the east side of Ashland went all the way from Roosevelt to the expressway. There was a huge apartment building on the corner of Ashland and Roosevelt. There was a laundromat on the other side. Mr. and Mrs. Manning and family lived right across, right next to the church. To the east on Roosevelt, there was the West Side Organization. There was a funeral home called Biggs and Biggs. And I think it was called a Centennial Laundry Plant also down there. And a department store called Winer's. And my family living across the street, this was our neighborhood too. But the real blessing for First Emmanuel was the housing project called Abla, which consisted of many, many, many row houses and about 15-story buildings from Ashland all the way to Roosevelt, and from Ashland all the way to Racine, and from Roosevelt to 15th Place. The children of the Sunday school came to First Emmanuel, and it was about 200 children, as I mentioned, and most of them came from that housing project. It was through that and the VBS enrollments that the church grew because of that housing project. Many white members stayed to welcome the new people, like the Zilkes and the Blanks. In fact, it was such a special church when Mr. and Mrs. Blank died and they're buried in Concordia Cemetery. On their tombstone, it says, "We are members of First Emmanuel Lutheran Church." Already in the late 1950s, students from Concordia College in River Forest came on the Lake Street L and later shuttle buses from the college every Sunday to help teach the Sunday school, along with a lot of members of our church. This church was filled with different classes filled by these things. Barbara Mahler, who's here today, and Dennis Malone were two of those students that had come. So the church was integrated in 1953, and this integration was not happening in other Lutheran churches. So it was appealing to students and others to mingle with people of other races and languages. It still is today. This is how the church grew at that time. We would have Sundays where the teachers of the Sunday school would go into the homes in the project of the children in their classes and invite the adults to church. One such family, the Wotans, they came because their two sons, Ronnie and Bobby, misbehaved, and instead of going to Zion Hill Baptist Church, they came over here to the Sunday school. So thank you, Ronnie and Bobby. This Sunday school and the youth program that followed were the reason for the growth of this church. Remember, most of these children and youth could walk to church. Many people sitting here today came from that era. In fact, people who are now in their late 60s and 70s can go on and on about how important the youth program was to them. I can run into some of these youth years later, and they have fond memories of this church. For a period of about 10 years, we had young men and women spend a year here to run the youth program. We had a basketball team associated with the Lutheran Athletic Association in the city of Chicago, and our church won the championship 3 years in a row. All those guys came from the projects or lived on Grenshaw Street, so they probably played street ball all their life. That's why they won these championships. The team was coached by George Smith and Gerald Downing. This is what the trophies are about downstairs. Pastor Ann told me the story. One time she moved one of these trophies, and I don't know what it was, several weeks or days, somebody said, "What happened to that trophy?" So the story is, don't mess with those trophies. These guys are in their 70s. This place is special to me because of the acceptance of the people to me and my family. Here I was at 20 years old and born on the northwest side of Chicago. Chicago was very segregated then and still is. This meant that you mainly hung around with your own group, which was one racial group and language. When in 1962 our first son David was born and we found out he had autism, we thanked God that we were at First Emmanuel because of how they accepted them. He is now 61 years old. Also in 1962, the church called a young man fresh out of the seminary in St. Louis as assistant pastor to work with the Spanish-speaking in the church and neighborhood. His name was Reverend Gail Schmidt. Little did we know at the time that 57 years later, after we were both widowed, that we would get married. So First Emmanuel was very special to him too. He started the ESL program, which is the English as a Second Language, in the 1960s. So we're very glad to hear that this may be part of First Emmanuel again. When our second son, Martin, was born in 1970, his presence here at this church affected his life also in learning the acceptance of all people, which is very important at a young age. When he was 13, he was involved with a group of people from church who bowled at the University of Illinois, lanes. His first ball we threw down the lane, Mr. Melvin Davis said, "Oh, no, 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 step aside, I will show you how to bowl." And Clarice Bowman was also helping with this. By the way, she's an excellent bowler. Being here through the 1960s meant that we shared the agony of many other things. The assassination of President Kennedy in 1963, Medgar Evers in 1965, Malcolm X in 1965, Martin Luther King in 1968, and Robert Kennedy in 1968. In the beginning, the Vietnam War and all the protests, which are very similar to what's going on around now. We shared the visitation of Martin Luther King speaking at this lectern in 1966. He came here because our church had a very good reputation in the neighborhood, and we were friends with the people of the West Side organization. He was here because there was going to be a rally at Soldier Field about open housing. We also shared when there were the riots on the West Side. We also survived the Black Power movement. Pastor Becker had a mentor in Reverend Bill Griffin, an African-American pastor from the South Side. The pastor talked with him about whether he should leave Emmanuel, but Pastor Griffin said, "I will tell you when and if I think you should leave." 30 years later, we were still waiting for the call. It was a great gift when Eleanor Brown gave me a red long-sleeve t-shirt with the words, "Black by popular demand." This was during the Black is Beautiful era. I felt we were blessed to be here with the people of First Emmanuel while we walked through this tumultuous history together, and much later the sheer joy of seeing Barack Obama taking the oath of office in January of 2009. In the 1960s, more than half of the membership walked to church. By the 1970s and 80s, most came by bus. By this time, most women were now involved in all aspects of congregational life, contrary to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's policies, where women could not vote, read lessons, or help with communion or hold office. Mrs. Beatrice Carter was the first female deacon. She was worried that the men of First Emmanuel would drop away if she became a deacon. But at that time, the men supported their involvement, and it's still that way. In fact, now they're downstairs getting this reception ready. Now women are full partners in the ministry of this church. After Pastor Becker retired, he was worried that maybe the new pastors would take away the involvement of women, since they were Missouri Synod pastors. I said, "Don't worry, we have strong women at First Emmanuel. They will make sure that doesn't happen." And they didn't. Through the years, I can't tell you how many women told me that the Sunday morning I came to church wearing pants, we called them slacks at the time. They said, "Praise the Lord, if she can wear slacks, so can we." I told them they didn't have to wait for me. They could have done it a long time ago. I was involved in groups that were striving for the ordination of women in the Missouri Synod. This did not happen. But thanks be to God, I have lived long enough to see Pastor Ann installed here at our beloved First Emmanuel. In fact, I was thrilled about it. Thanks be to God and the ELCA. We welcomed several Native Africans who were studying at the medical center, Tanzania, Nigeria, and Ghana. This was special because we got to learn about their rich African culture, rather than from these dumb Hollywood movies about Tarzan. Their family names were Nshimo, Kuzilwa, Agwancha, Odunukwe, Nagasapa, and Ukachukwu. And there was also Fred from Indonesia. They returned to their native countries, but Christian Ukachukwu is still with us here. There is another way that this congregation is special, food. When I came here, I ate most parts of the chicken. Now I only eat wings. I used to eat mac and cheese out of a Kraft Blue Box. Now it's gotta be in a big pan straight out of the oven. Before I liked pumpkin pie pretty well, but now it's gotta be sweet potato pie. It even gets crazier. You get to like certain dishes made by certain people. Only Cotty Walton's spaghetti, Pat Downing's tuna fish, and George Manning's red punch. And you can tell the difference, I'll tell you. When people ask me where I grew up, I would say, I was born on the northwest side of Chicago, but I grew up on the near west side at a church called First Emmanuel. That is because knowing the people of this church and what they have taught me through the years, so many times I would hear of something painful happening in their family or life, and the words from their mouth was usually, but I am so blessed by God, or God will see me through it. Your faith is so visible through your actions to one another. We felt comfortable with each other that they would tell me their stories. Some were happy and some were quite painful. Mr. Melvin Davis told me the story of when he returned from World War II. He was waiting for a train on the East Coast with a lot of other black uniformed soldiers. And they got on the train and the conductor said, I'm sorry, you will have to get off because we have to make room for the German prisoners of war who were on their way to a camp in Nebraska. Or some people would tell me of the trials of traveling down south the United States and not knowing where they could eat or sleep because of their color of their skin. Or George Manning would tell me several times how he was stopped by the police when he would drive into Oak Park, even though that was only two blocks away from his house. Or how many of you were passed over for promotions or assignments. And Melvin Davis would tell me about when we had the riot here, he said, well, there was also a riot in Chicago in 1919. When a black youth was swimming in Lake Michigan and swam into the white area of Lake Michigan, he was beaten and drowned, and a riot ensued around 31st Street. Or Mr. Roberts would tell me of the 1921 riot in Tulsa, where the white people burned down a whole section of the town because the black people were wealthy. But why didn't we learn about the accomplishments of black and brown and Asian and women in school? All the composers, writers, scientists, business leaders, and artists that we didn't hear about who were of a different race. Or seeing the Western movies of cowboys and Indians. They almost always portrayed them as savages. But here at First Emmanuel, we had the Hunter family who were from the Apache tribe. He would love to tell me about his ancestors, especially Geronimo. Their daughter, Veronica, graduated from Concordia Teachers College and taught at the reservation when they went back to San Carlos, Arizona. By the way, we are now standing on Potawatomi land, you know. Or watching the movie Hidden Figures and how angry I was that I didn't know about this story, about how a woman named Katherine Johnson was a fantastic mathematician, and she did all the computing for the trajectories of the space rockets for NASA. She didn't do it with a computer. She did it on a blackboard by hand with chalk. So when astronaut John Glenn was ready to go up into safe space, he said, I'm not going anywhere unless Katherine Johnson does the computing. It was only Years back, when President Obama presented the Medal of Freedom to her in 2015, when she was 97 years old. The other sad part of these stories is that some of these things are still happening today. It seems that people and institutions are still discriminating in the year 2024. But by being here all those years, I was made aware of all of this, and which is still going on about people with disabilities, or people who are gay, or people, we have a niece who is transgender. So all of these stem from my long period of time here and learning from you and being with people of different races and languages. This is what I mean when I said I grew up at this church. All of these stories were told to me in person by loving members of this church. But this specialness at this church is because after all the things that happen in the world and to each of us, we still know the grace of God. Seeing your faith in action all these years has been such a special blessing. There is no church like First Emmanuel, so friendly and accepting to each other and to those who come to our doors. It is very enriching to be here, so full of God's grace and goodness, so much fun and laughter. After all, who has a choir who went to a restaurant, almost got kicked out because we were laughing so much about chicken jokes? There is no other church that has the peace of the Lord like here. Other churches have, you might shake your hands over here, maybe behind you, but you never go down the hall, down the aisle, around the thing, talking to everybody. We had to tell visitors that the service wasn't ended at the time. It was only a welcoming to each other with this peace. In closing, people from other places asked me, how is it going at First Emmanuel? Are people still there, or is it closed, or about to be closed? I tell them this. I know that many, many of the pillars of the church have passed, but their children have become new pillars. The following are children whose parent or parents have died and were pillars of the church years ago. They would be pleased to see that their children are still very active at First Emmanuel. They will be welcome. The children will be welcoming the new members just as their parents were welcomed. Rodney Bailey and Gilda Bailey Maxwell, Janice Blackman Thomas, Karen Brooks Arnold and David and Alyssa Brooks, Fred Brown and Tracy Brown Howard, Nate Burns and Gloria Hoskins, Betty Carter Stanfield, Sharon Culberson Evans, Gail Davis, Gerald and George Downing and Sylvia Downing Ross, Jessica and Larry Halbert and Cecilia Wilson, Michelle Harris McGraw, her mother Adele is still living, George Manning, Sabrina Moore Rawls, Gaynell Roberts Cox, Paulette Rogers Gumbus, Shelva Stewart Eccles and Rhonda Jones, the Thomas family, Kay Thomas is still living, Tyrone Wallace, Jonathan Williams and Jeanette Williams, and Larice Wotan Carnett and Yvonne Wotan Tabb. A sign of a very healthy church is that there are a lot of new people in programs. You shouldn't only have people present here who were here 30 years ago when Pastor Becker retired. A lot of you I do not know very well. This is a good thing. You are most welcome to move this church forward into a new era. There is a new pastor now who loves this church and its people, just like we did many years ago. Pastor Ann has God's hands on her shoulder as she works among you together in ministry. And the word Emmanuel still means God is with us. Thank you.